I guess you might have guessed already that today is Pentecost Sunday, the day where we remember and celebrate the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers and how the church had began. So if you please open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, page 1078. We're going to read the accounts of the first Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Right, one night, at almost midnight, there were sirens roaring through the town. Everybody in the neighborhood was looking out the window to see what's going on. Then in bathrobes and curlers, they all gathered. They gather around to see the church going up in flames. It burned till way past 3 in the morning. Now the preacher looked around, then he stood up to say, "This is the biggest gathering we've ever had in our church. Most of you never come to church, so I was wondering why you came to church so early in the morning." They all looked at him, and everyone all at once replied, "The church has never been on fire." before. The church has never been on fire before. On the first Pentecost day, Luke tells us how the church was born as God set fire on the believers as the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they have the crowd to prove that the church was indeed on fire. The Jews in the crowds came from 16 different geographical regions. It was Pentecost. It was Festival of Weeks, sometimes it's called, where the Jews gather 7 weeks after the Passover to celebrate the first harvest. So in Jerusalem, it was filled with people. And the temple was full of people who come to celebrate this holiday, this festival. And so as the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and the Holy Spirit, like the fire, came to rest on each one of them, they start to talk in different languages. And as each of the disciples began to praise God and glorify God in different languages, those who were there begin to hear their own mother tongue. So the crowd gather and they're looking at these group of odd people, ragtags. And they're watching them and they're going, scratching their head, saying, aren't these all Galileans? Really? You know, it would be equivalent of us saying, what? These people are from on the other side of the tracks in Red Bank? And they're doing this? They are speaking in all these foreign languages? Where did they get that? How did they come to speak my language? And as they are wondering, Peter stood up and began to speak. Peter told them about who Jesus Christ is. And the funny thing is, as Peter spoke, the fire in some way just spilled over to the crowd. And then there were thousands and thousands of people who were hearing Peter begin to join them in praising God. And if we read further, we are told that just that day, there were 3,000 people who gave their lives to Christ, who were baptized, whose lives just turned around. What sets this day apart from all other days is that when the church, not the building, but the people of God, the followers of Christ, was set on fire. Luke tells us that there was transformation that took place, changing the lives of the believers, changing the lives of those who are gathered around, and changing the world forever. See, these disciples were those who were hiding in an upper room in fear after Jesus had died on the cross. They were so afraid. They were so confused. They didn't know what to do. They were all hiding in a room. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, When the fire came to rest on them, then all of a sudden they just got up and started to speak boldly about who Jesus is, about what God is doing through Jesus in the world. Talk about transformation. Cowering in fear, now speaking boldly. And then those who were there hearing the message, they hear who Jesus is. And then they begin to sense that maybe there is something, something good, something really cool about this Jesus. And I want to live differently. And they started, their hearts started to feel strangely warm. And they started to be set on fire, and their lives are changed forever. And then from there, all those who were set on fire started to spread through the region, through the whole lands, through the times. And because of what happened that day, we are here today, worshiping, praising God. Nothing but fire kindles fire. Remember our little conversation with the children? I asked them, so these candles, they're sitting there wondering what it is that they have to do. And I think it was Gwen's sister,
Whitley.
I think Whitley said, yeah, they have to put themselves on fire. Remember that? It's like, no, dear, the candles cannot set themselves on fire. Fire kindles fire. Holy Spirit is the one who put the fire to the disciples, like the fire puts the fire on the candles. When the believers of that first church were on fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, they also set those around them on fire for Christ. And they set the world on fire. The poet William Blake wrote a poem about Pentecost, and the part of the poem is, this is what says in the poem. It says, he says, unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known. To be the church in the 21st century, we must be a church on fire. On the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit of God can flow out through us into the community, into the world. Setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus Christ. Now is the time for us to open up our minds, open up our hearts to the mind-blowing, heartwarming, life-changing power of God. Our world desperately needs it. Our world desperately needs the fire of the Holy Spirit to bring life and renewal and transformation. Here are some descriptions of the experience of the Holy Spirit. Those who have experienced and felt the Holy Spirit, this is what they say. It says, Holy Spirit is like a breath that blows away the dust and makes everything clean. Holy Spirit is like refreshing cool water to my parched throat. Holy Spirit is like a cleansing brush fire that burns away all the thick undergrowth so that something new can rise out of the ashes. Holy Spirit is like a potter who starts with an odd-shaped lump and molds and shapes it into something beautiful. Holy Spirit is like a renovator who uses what is already there and strengthens, refreshes, and revitalizes what is there. Holy Spirit is like a loving friend, whispering reassurances of love and support. Holy Spirit is like a parent, guiding and helping a confused child, pointing us in the right direction to see the things that we would otherwise have missed. Holy Spirit is that gentle tap on the shoulder that makes us realize, hey, that's me that needs a new beginning and a new direction. Holy Spirit is that fierce shaking that wakes us up, reminds us that there is more to life than this, than what I'm doing. Holy Spirit is that passion that burns in our belly, that propels us into action, that makes things right. These are some of the description of what Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit revitalizes, renews, refreshes, empowers, creates, reminds, guides, comforts, all of us in the church, and also those outside the church. The one thing we hear from the scripture account is that the tongues of fire came and rested on each person. In order for us to be the church that is set on fire, each and every one of us, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, each person has to be passionate and enthusiastic about Christ in order for our whole church to be on fire and setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus Christ. In order for the embryo church to be on fire, it means that each and every one of us here, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can all come together as a church on fire, who can break the barriers, who can form communities, who can reconcile the opposites, who can establish unity, who can cure disease, who can break the addictions, who can renew our communities, who can reconcile and bless people, who can bring hope. And when we do that, that's when the church happens. Today, the Spirit of God is present, and we are the church who is to be set on fire. Someone asked Martin Marty, who's a retired professor of divinity in Chicago Divinity School. He wrote an article asking, can you define the Holy Spirit? And this is how he answers his own question. He says, no, you cannot bound, end, or limit God, especially the God we know as the Spirit. The Spirit, promised by the Father, connected with Jesus Christ, comes to us when we cannot naturally come to Him. And there are no limits, no end to what God would work now through us. So we do not define, but what we do is we pray. Pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. So, are we ready? God is up to something. Can we open up our hearts? And can we, as a community, pray together, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us take a moment in prayer, opening up our hearts, our lives, our minds, and let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us bow our heads. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come on each of us. Fill our hearts, fill our lives with your presence. Alight on us like the tongues of fire, so that we can shine the love of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet, and that we can set this world on fire with kindness, with love, with peace and justice. Lord, this world desperately needs your church, the believers who are set on fire by the Holy Spirit. Make us your servants who are passionate, who are enthusiastic about the good news that Jesus Christ proclaimed to us, so that we can be your force that will bring the transformation in the little corners where we are, so that together we can set this world on fire and make a difference, bringing your love, your peace, and your joy. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, for coming upon us, touching us, filling us, and rekindle your fire in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.